Game on 2FM.
With Gillette. Great performances begin with a comfortable close shave from Gillette. Gillette, making men's lives just that little bit easier.
Game on 2FM.
With Gillette. New SkinGuard Sensitive Razor. The first razor of its kind designed to stop irritation on sensitive skin. Gillette, the best a man can get.
Hello and welcome to Game On with Marie Crowe. Coming up today, the Rugby World Cup has officially started. James Downey is in with us to talk Ireland's team for the Scotland game. Dundalk are aiming to close in on the title. Alan Cawley and Keith Tracy are in studio to discuss. We'll have Friday Night Racing with Don McLean and Greg Allen is at Wentworth. You can get in touch by texting us on 51552 or on Twitter at Game On. James, Alan, Keith, you're very welcome. James, to you first. It's finally here. The Rugby World Cup kicked off this morning. We had a super opening ceremony and also the first game with Japan and Russia. Did you watch it and what did you think?
I survived the first half and then kind of slipped out, but I got the highlights. Look, it's everyone's been waiting for so long, haven't they? The countdown's been on, as you say, for the last while. And look, it's finally here. I think people have it. It's a nice weekend to start on, a nice Friday start. But in fairness, going to the game today, you look at the Japanese, nerves are there. Might have an impact on this weekend, you know, initial opening games. But it's great to finally be there. But the Japanese were impressive in the second half. A lot of errors, but you'd expect them to have gotten that victory, considering how Russia had gone in the previous games, you know. But look, finally here, and everyone's really excited now.
Is everyone really excited? Alan, are you really excited about it?
Can you not see the excitement on my face, Marie? I'm over the moon. Well, I'll tune in at the weekend. I'll obviously watch the Irish games, maybe a couple of others as the tournament picks up a bit of speed, and obviously the knockout games. But I wouldn't be kind of getting up out of bed too early in the morning
to watch
the games.
You're not going to get up at 5:45 for Australia Fiji now.
I'll skip on that one.
Keith, you're obviously from a different sport, from soccer, but still the Irish rugby team, national team, playing on a Sunday morning. Would you get up early to watch them?
I'll get up on Sunday to watch the Irish, yeah. I wouldn't have much interest outside the Irish, to be honest with you. But yeah, it's great. You know, the World Cup has started and hopefully we can do something. But your man next to me will know a lot more about that than me, you know.
Alan, teams like South Africa and New Zealand, like for just even a general sports fan, when you know you've got a game like that now, I mean, that would have to whet the appetite for anyone, whether you've a huge interest in rugby or not.
Well, I don't think it comes any bigger than those two, I suppose, especially in so early in the tournament. So yeah, that's going to be a massive game, and it does whet the appetite, I suppose, for all sports fans. It'll be interesting to see how to go, because even just listening to the likes of James and all the rugby pundits around, it's probably the most open Rugby World Cup that we've had in a long time, because I think New Zealand have obviously dominated, but a lot of people, from what I'm reading here, are suggesting that it is fairly open. And obviously we're going in with huge expectation as well. Maybe it's been dampened down a little, Marie, in the last probably 6 to 9 months, but certainly I think we're in with a great chance. And obviously the fact that Joe Schmidt has been so successful during his time here, it'd be a hell of a way to go out if we were to even get to the proper kind of knockout stages in terms of the semi-final or final, and get past that quarter final that always seems to elude us.
Yeah, and I think that's ultimately got to be the goal, you know. It's got to be to get past that quarter final, that elusive quarter final that we keep losing, that elusive semi that we never get to, you know. That's where it's got to get to, you know, and that's where Joe's whole remit has been over the past 4 years in terms of how we've lost.
And that's a genuine, realistic target.
100%, yeah. And we start off with a tough one this weekend, of course, but I think that New Zealand, South Africa, obviously has got a massive implications for us in terms of that quarterfinal, regardless of who we play. If we get there, you know, it's going to be one of these one-off games, but it has to be the target, and we can go even further than that, you know. And I think this side that he has set up is equipped to deal with some injuries, because there are going to be injuries, you know, and some teams are going to lose some charismatic players. So it's going to be one of those. We have the squad, hopefully we can get that far.
Okay, well, let's go through the team, because we did get our first team announcement today and we were looking forward to that for a long time. And I suppose, like, it was kind of expected that we would have a reshuffle at the back three. Andrew Conway and Jordan Larmour and Jacob Stockdale are the three there. Are they good enough, do you think, for the Scotland game?
Yeah, 100%. I think, okay, Jordan hasn't played there for a long time, but again, going into this game, I think Andy Conway's got a bit of form about him, and people kind of write him off, you know. And look, we've got to kind of look at where they are, and Andy's played extremely well, and when he's got these doubters, he's always stepped up to the plate, you know. And he's always kind of a 7 or 8 out of 10. He's always thereabouts, you know. He doesn't have necessarily a bad game, and any time he has been under pressure, he's produced man the match performances. He's probably a little bit surprised on the wing. It's an interesting thing that Jordan Larmour's gone full back. For me, I've got no qualms with it whatsoever, but I guess you're looking at the opposition and we're looking at the way Scotland are going to set up, and you've got Finn Russell, who's one of these 10s who could just pull different sort of strings. He's a running 10, he's also a kicking 10. Stuart Hogg, a full back, has got that left foot, massive left foot, and if he can manipulate the backfield, it could cause the back three a few issues, you know. And I think that's where people's concerns are.
They've only played together once, and that was a win over Italy in Chicago.
Yeah, but look, again, it's not, like, it's still to have been there and played outside. You look at the midfield that Scotland have, they've only played once together as well, so you can flip it on that set. But I just think that they may have to put someone else behind the ball. So defensively, the way that Scotland will play tactically, we may have to drop someone else back to help them in the backfield. As I say, the Scottish have that ability to pull the strings and control that backfield and manipulate where Jordan and where Andy goes, you know. And if these boys can get a bit more security, it'll make for a decent day. I think on a positive for the two guys, if they can get an early catch, they're going to bombard them a lot of high balls. And if they drop one or two, given conditions, quite humid, it can be quite testing. But if they get their first one, they're confident and they're in the game. And these guys, you want, if it's a dry track, hopefully, these guys can run amok, you know. They're extremely evasive, elusive runners who can cause a lot of damage. And if it's an open game, it'll certainly suit them.
Alan, what an opportunity is as well for these two players now, like the biggest stage that you can possibly ever dream of, and you're starting for your country. And like, I suppose you're look at the draw, the two people who maybe regularly play in this spot are injured, but you know they're getting their chance now.
Yeah, but I think that's the beauty of, I suppose, the job that Joe Schmidt has done in his time and the success that Leinster and Munster have had, because they've built up that strength and depth now, Marie. Whereas before in World Cups, that would have always might have caught us out if we were missing two or three of the key players. But I think the fact that even without the likes of Kearney and whoever may not be playing on Sunday, you're bringing in lads who have that experience of being successful at Leinster. Obviously, they've been with Joe Schmidt, and even though it might be only their first game since the Italy game together in Chicago, I'm sure there's huge work going on behind the scenes and the preparation, because from all you ever hear from inside the camp is that Joe Schmidt leaves no stone unturned. They're so well prepared, and all know their positions, know their role in the team, and that's the way it should be, no matter what sports you're playing or what team. That's the way it should be for everybody. But I think the likes of Joe Schmidt and the level that he has got as a manager himself, I wouldn't worry about these lads, because they wouldn't be there if they weren't good enough.
At the same time though, you kind of have to think, like, wouldn't it be nice to have Rob Kearney on a day like that when the weather might not be that great, and the experience that he has, and the first big game of the World Cup against Scotland?
Yeah, look, I think in an ideal world, yeah, you would, but then you'd also have a lot of other boys back, you know. And I think it's just testament to where Joe has gotten this squad in terms of that strength and depth that Alan's mentioned there that we have. And no better game than just to throw him in there at the deep end and go, look, this is a great chance for you. As you say, given conditions, hopefully it's going to be dry. If it's wet, we still have that power game to play, as we did against Wales, to really upset the Scots. I think we can change it, but I do think there's going to be a massive test on the two guys.
The nature of these games as well, and the competition, James, like, it's so important that you have strength and depth, isn't it? Because like, for listeners, just how difficult is it to go week to week? And obviously we look at rugby now, and you look at one game on a Saturday and you see how difficult or how the amount of effort that players put into it. So if you're being asked to go maybe 5, 6, 7 games to win a competition, you're never going to rely on just 15, 16 players.
No, you can't. And it's rugby's so attritional, and you see the size of the players that are playing now, and you see, like, okay, for example, the Japanese will have an 8-day turnaround before we play them. We've a 6-day turnaround, and people might think there's not much to that, but those 2 days are crucial. That's the 48 hours where your body can rest up. Like, the collisions that you see on TV, it's unbelievable. The players need so much recovery, and there's not much work you can do during a World Cup to actually change certain things. You can't do loads of on-field fitness renting, because the players just don't have the ability to do it. They have to turn up on Saturday. Like, everything's about gearing up for that Saturday, for that game. But that's why it's a squad effort. It's a 31-man squad. I know Joe's spoken before about trying to increase that squad a bit late now. That's the way it is, you know. But you saw what we did 4 years ago. We lost so many players towards the end, and we just didn't have it. And as you say, you can't rely on the same 15. It's probably a good thing that, because Rob Kearney would have had to be rested at some stage, there's other players that are going to have to get a game. And And there's other guys in the squad who are going to be hugely important who mightn't even feature on Sunday, and they could be have a crucial part to play in the future.
One player that is going to be crucial is our captain, Rory Best. He was speaking to Michael Corcoran. Let's hear from him.
This is when you can really start to get excited. We'll go to the venue to train today, and that's when you're inside. You'll get a feel for what the stadium's like. You can try to picture it, what it's going to be like full on Sunday afternoon. And yeah, look, I think it's just an opportunity you relish. To pull on a green jersey in a World Cup is something that not everyone gets to do. And you know, Joe's named 15 that are going to be lucky, and the 23 that'll come on and hopefully make a big impact in the last quarter.
Now, the initial excitement was being named in the 31. That's done. You're the man chosen to lead the group, and I mean to be, as you say, one of the privileged ones to lead out an Irish team in a stadium in a Rugby World Cup. I mean, that's a once in a lifetime thing, isn't it?
Yeah, hopefully it'll be a few times in a lifetime over
this weekend,
over the next couple of weeks. But yeah, look, I think to be in the squad, a World Cup squad, and to be captain of an international World Cup squad is it's an unbelievable feeling. To captain this group, especially, you know, they're a great group. To captain, you know, there's so many leaders in it, there's so much exciting talent, there's so many guys that want to be the best they can be, and I think you can have that. It's, you know, it's reasonably easy to try to harness that and channel it in the right direction. We have a fantastic coaching staff, so look, it'll be a huge honour for me to go out first in an Ireland jersey in a World Cup game. And I think what a game to start off with. You know, Scotland, they are a quality side, and we know how tough it's going to be, and we know that we have to do whatever it takes to try to grind out a win as whatever way we can.
They're certainly coming for you, because even in the build-up to this game during the course of the week, people like Stuart Hogg, you know, they almost couldn't name what they thought the Irish team was going to be, and, you know, they'll have respect, but they're quite capable of knocking you over if you're not in your game.
Yeah, look, they're a quality side, and, you know, when two quality sides meet, it gets very close, and it comes down to small moments in the game. And look, we will do all our homework on them, and we'll do our homework on ourselves, and we get ourselves ready to play. And all you can do is put yourself in the best position to win those small moments whenever they come your way. And that's what we'll do. Like I say, Scotland and both Scottish teams, you know, Edinburgh and Glasgow, maybe slightly more so Glasgow over the last couple of years, have been producing some fantastic performances, and that gives you confidence as a group. You know, we grow off the confidence of how our provinces do. They're no different, and when a team gets confidence mixed in with the ability they have, it makes them very, very dangerous.
There must be a huge sense of kind of excitement and anticipation. You know, this is the start of a continuation, but start of another part of a journey that could be quite an exciting one in the next one.
Yeah, like I think that the Rugby World Cup, and when we arrived here, they had, you know, various games on from the last couple of World Cups on repeat, and you get to look back and you remember moments in it, and you remember, like, there's the Argentina-Australia semi-final was on. Of course, that was heartbreaking even now to watch that. You know, the sort of what could have beens, and I think for us it's to make sure that we don't look back in whatever number of weeks' time and think what could have been. You know, if we produce our best performance and we can be very proud of it, that is a really strong starting point for us.
That was the Ireland captain there, Rory Best, speaking to Michael Corcoran. James, there was so much talk about Rory Best and his ability and the lead up to this. Like, how much pressure is he going to be feeling now heading into the Scotland game?
Look, it's first game of a huge tournament, you know, and he knows it's his last tournament. There'll be certain pressures there. I think obviously the pressure on him is going to be that line-out area that's been so scrutinised. I think the Scots are going to target that massively as well. But I just think if Ireland can play with a bit of tempo, get that confidence up, get that first line-out in, Rory be confident, the jumpers will be confident, and Ireland be confident then.
The weather though, James.
I know, but I just think that James Ryan is still a smart and astute player, and he can call, they can move around. As Rory said there, they've done their homework on them, and they'll know how they defend. So, as I say, just a little bit of confidence, get it up. You see the huddles before they go into line-outs, and if they can get that done nice and smartly and quickly before Scotland have time to settle, get quick ball, get an easy ball, they're in the game and confidence flies.
Because the weather, like, you know, we're going on the, I suppose, face value with the Japanese forecast, But that kind of weather will suit us better, won't it, the way that we play that structured game?
Yeah, I think so. I think as well, you look back to, I would have been extremely worried before that, before the Wales game, but I think you look at the way we played against Wales and how we were able to pick it up, I think the confidence is flowing again in the side. I know it's only one out of the, what, 3-4 games we played, but it's the last game. You're only as good as your last game, and the way we play is that attritional nature, you know, and I know we could lose players to it, but physically dominating the Scottish side, you know, and I think that we have the ability to certainly do that.
Bearing in mind the conditions again, just like that kicking game, Joe Schmidt has been talking about it in all the interviews leading up. He's talking about the pitch being cut up after New Zealand and South Africa. So do you think that'll be his tactic of choice?
It's going to be interesting actually, because you know the Scots are going to put it in the air. I'm sure we will a certain bit. Look, Johnny's been one of the best tens in the world for the past while. He'll control things. I'm sure the pack will want to see simple rugby, kick it to corners maybe, and just put them on the front foot, maybe a bit of chest at the start of the game, you know, just to kind of find out things. And it's certainly going to play a part, and as I said today, the humidity in the games as well was causing a lot of unforced errors. That's those slippy balls. I'm sure there's been some videos going around a lot of teams training with putting balls in water and stuff like that, just to get used to it, because it's a difficult skill to kind of catch and pass, and when it's a slippy ball and you don't appreciate it, especially when it's humid out there. But I certainly think that Ireland can do enough, especially regardless of conditions.
The nature of team announcements, you always kind of focus on who's going to not be there, who's missing, who's injured, but like when you look at that pack, we've got first choice forwards, so there's plenty of positives.
Yeah, there is, and look, there's a couple of players who can feel hard done by as well. You know, I thought Jack Conan's been superb coming into that game. Played extremely well the last day, and you kind of look at that back row as well, and you've Peter Mahoney, Josh Van der Fleer, and CJ. Like, there's a bit of pressure on each one of those, you know. I think Pete's going to obviously be a huge asset in the line out. I think Josh has got a big job in trying to negate that influence that the Scottish back row has. I think there's a bit behind that, you know. I think if you see like Barclay Watson and Ryan Wilson as well, they're quite an abrasive back row, and they'll be looking to disrupt breakdown ball. So I think he's gone with it a certain degree of that, especially with CJ, how powerful he's going to carry. But I think then if the game opens up, you've got people like Tyburn and Jack Conan to come off and have a huge impact on the game.
And we have our leaders there as well, especially Johnny Sexton. Alan, just as somebody like who played professional sport, to have someone like him beside you, just a leader, must give a team great confidence.
Yeah, well, I suppose for me, tuning in just as a fan, Marie, he's one of the ones that I certainly would definitely be looking up to. So I'm sure all the players around him to speak so highly of him, but he's that driven kind of character in the team that you need. Demands a lot, like we speak a lot about even other sports and demanding from each other. I think it's gone out of the game in certain aspects of, I suppose, soccer and football that we talk a lot about, but certainly from Johnny Sexton's point of view, he'll want to deliver a lot in this competition because he's not getting any younger either. He's obviously been hugely successful, but I think at this level, World Cup level, he'd love to obviously lead them the whole way to try and win a World Cup. And I think, I suppose, like James says, the expectation that was there probably 9 months ago, I don't think it should be dampened down. Like you mentioned off air there, Marie, when we were chatting, that they're still number one in the world going into the competition. Like that, even that alone must give them huge confidence. Plus it will also send fear into a lot of the other countries, because I'm sure, even though we're talking up other countries, I'm sure plenty of other countries are worried about maybe facing Ireland in a quarter final or semi final, because that's the level that we've reached. And obviously he's played a huge role in that, Johnny Sexton. So hopefully he can deliver a huge tournament, because that's the one thing I have for Joe Schmidt and for a lot of the players when I tune in and watch rugby, is the respect you have for them, because they carry themselves so well too, the utmost professionals, and it would be great to see them delivering like success on a world level.
Confidence, like we've been as sports fans, I suppose, burnt by the Irish rugby team in terms of going into World Cups and thinking that we're going to go way further than we have, and it hasn't worked out. So like the expectation isn't as high, and obviously the stumbling block of a New Zealand or South Africa as well, I think it's keeping us all our feet firmly on the ground. But how confident are you, James, that we can maybe go further than we've ever gone before in a World Cup?
Extremely confident. I think you have to be. Okay, we've mentioned the number one in the world, but we've also beaten every single team that's there. You know, we've beaten a New Zealand, we've beaten a South Africa, we've beaten Australia. We've done it. We've been there, done that. We've lost that monkey off our back, per se. And I think it's the lads are going to be confident. It's that momentum word, you know, you kind of get in there, get a couple of wins. it's like it's a cup tournament. It's knockout, it's 80 minutes, anything can happen. And as I say, they're not going to go in there and go, oh, we've never beaten New Zealand. We have beaten them. Like, we've done it, and a lot of those players have been on the field to do that. So there's no doubt the expectations should be high, and we've got to be a confident side.
And just finally, this morning's game, were you impressed with Japan?
A lot of nerves, as I said previously, first half, but then I think you'd expect them to take away second half. You know, they'll grow in confidence, I suppose. Home nation, you know, everyone's under a bit of pressure there, and you could see it, and the Russians had nothing to lose. But I expect the Japanese to get better going on as the tournament goes.
Okay, brilliant. It is time for a quick break now, and we'll be back shortly to talk football.
Game on 2FM.
With Gillette Skin Guard Sensitive, the first razor of its kind designed to stop irritation on sensitive skin. So say bye-bye to shave irritation and razor bumps. Gillette, the best of man.